Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Hello and welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through leveraging search engine optimization, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for entrepreneurs and businesses of all sizes. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. And you can also follow us online at SEOQueen.com and all social networks at the SEO Queen. And just for listening to us, we just want to give you a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen. Again, that's SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen to book your 15-minute complimentary Reach More Clients Power Session. So we are super, super excited today, because we have an entrepreneur who is doing some amazing things in Los Angeles County and beyond. She is the host of Talk Tech to Me. She is the host of a fantastic radio show. And she is also the founder and CEO of Made in South LA, which is a software development and also engineering company. She is out here doing some amazing things, also teaching young people how to code. And I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Cassie Betts. How are you today?
Hey, I'm lovely. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So doing I just good. Wanted to know from you, because I think it's just amazing that I feel like you and I are like sisters, because we're, you know, we have tech firms, we're Black women doing the gosh darn thing, you know?
All right.
So how did you get started with your entrepreneurial journey?
Oh man, I was literally like from a kid. You know, some people it's just like in your DNA, deep rooted. So from a kid, like I was literally the kid on the block that was like cutting up Madonna, cutting the black lace gloves when Madonna had the black lace gloves. Selling candy, doing whatever. I was the one making the dresses at prom for other people because my mom sewed. So I was like pimping out my mom. You know, just since I was a kid, I was just always like, how can I make some money? So it's just in me. My parents were entrepreneurs. My grandparents were entrepreneurs. It was just, that's what we did, you know?
Okay. So you were, as a child, your mom sold and you were selling dresses, prom dresses.
Prom dresses, yep. I would get people to, they would pay me to make their dresses. I made my own dress. I made like neighborhood clothes for the kids. I've just always been doing business, like literally since I was a kid. When I was 9, I was a coder. You know, I was just that kid. I was just always hustling.
So what language did you start coding in when you were 9?
When I was 9, it was Pascal. That takes it back. That shows my age.
Yeah, Pascal.
That was, you know, Pascal?
They were teaching that in AP computer science. I never learned Pascal. I learned BASIC. That's what I learned how to program in.
But yeah, entrepreneurialism, I feel like, you know, what's interesting, I took off for a time, like, I don't remember the year, but I actually went and I worked when I wanted to get into fashion. I was like, all right, like, I had planned on just starting my own line straight out of school. And I was like, nah, let me go work for some people, because this is really a lot to learn. And so I did. I worked from, when did I start? Like 2000 or so. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there, 2002, because I remember I started to work when my son was born. My youngest son was born in, I think, 2002. And then, because before that I was a video vixen, you know what I'm saying?
You were a video vixen before
I
that.
was a video vixen. That was my hustle then. I was a video vixen. You didn't know?
I did not know you was a video
Yes,
vixen.
I was out there in the commercial video vixen streets. I did commercials. I was an actress model. So I did all that. But I never liked it. It was just like money was good. You know, I fell into it. And I mean, I went there for it. And then when I got hit in LA, because I moved to LA from Hawaii, I was like, oh, this ain't it. Like, it just wasn't for me, you know? But the money was good. I was in it. And I was like, well, I'm here.
What
And then when I
music
got
videos were
pregnant,
you in?
literally like hundreds of music videos. Like, name an artist from the 2000s.
Ludacris.
Was I in a Ludacris video?
He was in Atlanta. Let me think of somebody in California.
I don't think I was, but Ludacris was a friend of mine. I literally like was at his house, and he used to watch my movie called Choices that I was in, because it was a Southern, like, they love me in the South kind of movie with a 3-6 Mafia. It was like a cult classic called Choices.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I was friends with Ludacris back in the days, but I don't think I was in a Ludacris video. No.
I'm trying to think who other Bobby Valentino.
Nope, but my best friend was in that video.
I'm trying to think.
The main
Oh,
one.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer, no, that was after MC Hammer days. I was in the Jay-Z days, P. Diddy, you know, I was in some P. Diddy videos, some Jay-Z videos, some Ja Rule, J-Lo, you know, them was my days.
Oh,
Dr. Dre, Next
okay.
Episode, you know,
You were in Next
Nelly, Eric.
Episode.
I was in Next Episode with Dre. I was like literally Dre's girl in that video. I was in
Oh,
Nelly's,
wow.
Air Force One, selling shoes to Murphy Lee.
Wow.
So yeah, I was in all those. And I mean, that was entrepreneurialism, because I'm literally my own boss, and I had to go on auditions, and I had to book, you know, videos. I had agents. I had to get me an agent. It was a whole thing. But when you're an actress, you are self-employed. You're your own entrepreneur.
Right. So, like, what do you think? What skills did you take with you from like that stage in your life to where you are now?
Oh man, that was huge, because so from there I started doing design. I went into fashion. So from model acting, I went into like styling. So I was like doing styling, and then I went into fashion when I got pregnant, which is where I really wanted to go anyway. But it was just hard for me because the money was so good. I'm making like $750 a day, $1,000 a day, you know, as a model actress. Those were back in the days, they paid video vixens very well. You know, so it was hard because I really wanted to get into fashion, but fashion I had to go back down to, I think it was like $8 an hour minimum wage. And I was like, this, you know, it's a hard step down. But once I got pregnant, I said, well, I now I have to, you know, now I can't be pregnant being a video vixen. So let me get into fashion. So yeah, from modeling acting, I got into fashion. And then from fashion, I was like in it for maybe 3 years or so, and I said, no, I was in it for a long time. I was in it for tw 20 years total. But at some point, I was like, why is there no technology? Like, where's our cool apps? You know, where's our software for fashion? There was nothing. It was like we had Microsoft Excel, and like Illustrator and Photoshop. That was it. That was our technology. That's how we did everything. And it
Oh,
was just
wow.
crazy. There was a huge lack of like cool tech. And as you know, a kid who grew up in tech, playing video games, coding video, I literally built games, you know, as a kid, I just knew we were gonna have like some super cool fashion, you know. No, there was nothing. There was nothing when I got in. Now there's some things. There's a lot of things, you know, fashion related, but it's still like a little, it's sparse. Yeah, from there I started a fashion tech company called District 2. And I really just wanted to make it easier for people to find their factories. At first I was going to make like software to design, but it was too intricate, you know, for my skill level of where I was at when I got into tech. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't a full stack developer. I hadn't been coding since I was a kid, you know, so I was basically starting from ground zero as far as my technological know-how. And so yes, I did build a I built a marketplace, sort of like Alibaba, where we would connect designers with factories, but it was for indie designers, unlike Alibaba, which is big, grand. It was for like the little guy, you know. And so yeah, that's how I got into tech and how I brought like my lessons learned in the modeling world was just my ability to network. You know, and actually even still a lot of those people that were like on the ground level of they were like at the time PAs, you know, which is the bottom of
Right,
the
production
chain.
assistance. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the bottom of the chain and grips, you know, this is the bottom of the chain. Or like directors just starting, but now they're like big time directors and producers. They're doing big things. So it's great that, you know, I was always networking and always like showed up on time, did my work. Like even though like people think, oh, acting, modeling, she's a pretty face or whatever, there's a lot of respect for people who actually just do the work, you know, do the
Right.
work, memorize your lines, you know, come through on favors. I did a lot of favors for people, and so I came and collected on them favors.
I know that's
I might
right.
not 10, 20 years later, I did. I have literally collected on all the favorites I ever did. I was like, yo. And then just people I was cool with, you know?
Right, right.
So I definitely brought a lot of that into this tech space. And also my homelessness. I was homeless as a teenager in Hawaii. And I would say a lot of my lessons come from that. Just being able to like navigate that scene and understanding that if you know somebody over there that has something that somebody over there wants, that's super valuable. You
Right,
know, you might not have nothing,
the
right? But if you're the connector of people, now you have something.
right.
One
Yeah,
way to make moves
that's a
in a space
resource.
where you, right? It's a great way to make moves and elevate yourself in the space where you're brand new, is you just figure out how to connect everybody and give and help everybody else.
Right, that's
And
awesome.
ultimately, yeah, ultimately that helps you.
Yeah, I definitely find that people call me a lot because I work with a lot of business owners. A lot of business owners call me and say, do you recommend, can you help me? And more often than not, I was like, I
No, I literally know everybody. I know everybody. Like, it's crazy. I know one of each person that somebody else needs. It's crazy.
I surprise myself sometime.
Yeah. I'll just
Yep.
put it on Facebook because a lot of those friends from back in those acting modeling days, we're still friends on Facebook. So I'll just put it on Facebook and, you know, I'll find whoever I'm looking for.
Yep, that's awesome. So, when you transition, into District 2, like what lessons did you learn from District 2 before, that you pulled into your current venture? Made in South LA.
Yeah, so District 2 is my first tech company. I had never, you know, started a tech company. I wasn't even in tech. I was in fashion, you know. So when I got in, one thing I saw was just one, there's no diversity, you know. I was like, where are the black people? Where
Right.
are the women? It was just white. And so that was in 2013. And so since then, I really dedicated my life to like, increasing diversity in tech. That's what happened really. But when I got in, I guess I just learned that there's a process. You know what I'm saying? Like every startup kind of you have to have a pitch deck, you know, if you're going to raise funding, there's a certain like steps to take. So I learned all those. I've helped a lot of other startups. I've helped with their pitch decks. I've helped with their business strategies, their go-to-market strategies. It's just a lot to be learned. It's like you can't even possibly learn it in school, you know? So
Right.
you just get thrown in and it's wonderful. It's like wonderful and terrible all at the same time because you know, it's like so much pressure and you put it on yourself, you know, like you put so
Right.
much pressure on yourself to win, to make $1 million, you know. And I never made $1 million. I made hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and I
Right.
spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, just yeah, it was just like the best school ever. I always say I look at entrepreneurialism like school. Like when you go to college, you're gonna pay money, it's gonna cost you, And in the end, the difference between college and entrepreneurialism is you could actually make $1 million. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right.
Right out. You know,
Absolutely.
it could work or not. And if it doesn't, it's not a loss because you just paid for school. You just paid to learn how to start a tech company, you
Right.
know? So yeah, I definitely took a lot from District 2 to now. You know, now I created an agency because it's like, okay, so now I know how to start a startup. Let me help other people start startups. Let me help other people build their MVPs. Let me help other people do their go-to-market strategies. Because, you know, it's like when the gold rush happened in California, who made the most money? The people selling the tools for the people in the gold rush. You're all looking for
Right,
gold, you know?
exactly,
I'm
exactly.
selling the tools. Like, I'm selling, like you are, you know? I'm selling, like, what you need to make your startup work.
Right.
You need web development, you need marketing. And I, you know, I just wanted to hire people and help my people. So an agency was one of the best ways to hire as many people as possible.
So, how did you arrive at the name Made in South LA?
So that actually came from what is it? Edward Portillo. I actually remember his name. Edward Portillo was a colleague of mine. We set up, they brought me in to set up like an incubator in South Central at a school called SEA, Solar Enrichment Action, off of Vermont and Manchester in an area called Murderer's Row. Girl, like,
Oh,
of course,
wow.
they neglected to tell me that at the time. That was funny. We would have met in my lush office in Santa Monica, you know, and they're like, yeah. So we heard you're looking to start, you know, work with teens and stuff, and we got a program, and you can set up shop on the second floor, and we can help you raise money. And we did. We raised like a little 50 grand to like pimp out the second floor of the school. Literally had to go through metal detectors to go into the school, right?
Oh, wow.
Literally metal detectors. And I was like, oh, so I'm thinking like this, all the schools in South Central, like y'all all got metal detectors? No, just that school, right?
Wow.
So I get there, and you know, I'm training the kids. Edward Portillo, he's the one who came up with Made in South LA, because we were all from South LA. Like all the people, it was like four of us who started Made in South LA, the nonprofit, you know. And so he came up with that name actually. And we were just training kids at from the school in all things tech, like to build websites, to work for. I had my company District 2, so they were literally doing District 2 social media. They were building like little landing pages. They were doing like marketing. You know what I mean? We were training them like content creating. You know, it was kind of before content creation really took off. So they were just like posting and, you know, just really trying to navigate it all. But yeah, probably like 8 months, I don't know if it was 6 months, 8 in. That's what they told me. That's what I realized. It was Murderers Row. That's what I realized. It was a school where like all the kids that get kicked out of the local schools in South Central were sent to this school. But
Oh, wow.
I had no idea, which I think is kind of beautiful because I went in like, I mean, I know where I'm at. I'm in South Central. Like I know what these kids are coming from. But I did not know it was the supposedly baddest of the baddest because they were awesome. They were absolutely amazing. People were carrying my bags. You know, people were helping me upstairs. They were just so dope. Them kids was awesome. And I just remember walking in like, oh, y'all the bad kids.
And what did they say when you said
All big. I was like, nope, I'm gonna have to hear every single story of how you got kicked out of your school. And they did. They went down the line and everybody told me the story. It wasn't my fault. You know, she called me out my name and I had to do what I had to do, you know. It's crazy
Wow.
how one decision can
Man.
turn a good kid bad, you know, because they were just, I'm friends with these kids to this day. You know, they were just amazing. How are you here? You know? So,
That's
it was
amazing.
a great facility.
I look at my son and I look at my daughter and some of the things that have been said to them, and our kids are not appreciated and protected enough in this society. And I really take my hat off to you for the work that you do. It's so inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying because, you know, whew, it's never the kids. It's never the kids. Every issue I've had with like different programs, projects, spaces and places, never the kids. It's always like someone else. You know, it's always some
Right.
level of just, I don't know, jealousy.
I think
I'm not sure, you
a
know.
lot of people they put their limitations on kids when kids really don't have limitations. Kids are supposed to expand as much as possible.
Yeah, because they definitely told me I wasn't gonna be able to teach them kids how to code. They were like, "You gonna teach these kids how to program?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" You know what I mean? Like the concept
Right.
of not being able to me was like, "Why would you just expect that they can't? Like they're not smart enough?" You know, it's interesting how I even literally had the conversation today, and it. I mean, it's kind of viable, I guess, because it was like kids that flunk out of school. Like, so I'm gonna be doing some programming in Chicago, and particularly the school is yeah, we're kids that don't make it to the others. Again, I'm not end up in these places, but and they were a little concerned because of very high level technology that we're training our kids. You know, JavaScript, Python, React. You know, and they were like, "What's the prerequisite?" And I was like, "That they show up, that they show up, and they show out. Like they show up, and they're just there every day." And they were like, "Well, I don't know. They have to be good at math." I'm like, "No, they don't gotta be good." I was like, "Let me tell y'all something." I said, "At our programming, all the kids that are doing the absolute best. I mean, these kids are building websites, games, apps. One of the kids is a pilot now. He flies airplanes. Like all these kids that are our best are all." Literally at the same time, we're all flunking, getting D's and F's in school. Those are our best kids. It's
Well, you know
crazy.
what? You know, one of the reasons why our kids get labeled that way is because, like, the school system, the way they teach stuff is so boring, and it's so they just give so many, they give tiny bites at a time instead of flooding people with information, and the kids just tune out.
Yeah, or it's just like, how does this apply to me? Like, how am I going to use this anywhere? And for us, it's like, okay, I'm teaching you, and I have a rule like with all my instructors. I'm like, you got 3 minutes, 5 minutes tops for you to be talking. You should not be talking at no time ever past 5 minutes. After that, it's time to do something. It's time to the kids should be using their hands and doing this. You know what I mean? You should no longer be talking, and then you do it. They show it. They talk to you. Now you go back. Again, you got 2 to 5 minutes. Like that's how I teach, and that's how it works. It's too much talking. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like I'm tuning out. Like we all got ADD. Everybody got ADD. I can't sit here and listen to nobody talk for 30 minutes straight without like, you know, something exciting happening or something. I like to go and do some hands-on stuff, especially in a classroom setting.
Right. That's awesome. So, besides working with what people call at-risk youth and teaching them coding, like what other exciting software projects have you been working on over the years since you launched Made in South LA?
Yeah, working with we call them underestimated youth.
Underestimated.
Underestimated youth, the underestimated communities. That's what we are, you know. Disinvested and underestimated. But so I am now a chief innovation officer at CEDC, which stands for Community Economic Development Corporation. And we are real estate developers. So yeah, building out more tech center. So we helped to build out the South LA Best Buy T Tech Center in South Central. And so, you know, I learned a lot from that, what to do, what not to do, you know. So now building more, just literally building more tech centers with CEDC. We have a three skyrise development in downtown Long Beach. And so we'll be doing what we're calling the 360 smart economy. And in a 360 smart economy, it's because it really helps the ecosystem of the entire community. So first we train the local community in the surrounding areas of our developments in very high level agency technologies, like, you know, whatever it takes to be an agency that builds like MVPs, to builds out minimum viable products for software companies, which is like right now, you know, front end, back end, AI. We're doing machine learning because now AI is all the rage. graphic design, UX, UI, SEO, data analytics, just like all the things that an agency would need, content creation, editing. And then the agency hires them, and then of course we can also get them hired by other businesses, but the agency is a pivotal part of the 360 smart economy and these developments, because now we can hire our students and we can provide affordable marketing, affordable web development for local small businesses. So that helps them because it's really difficult to find. I mean, if you want to get like an agency to do your marketing, it's like 10 grand. Maybe you can find somebody for 5 grand a month. Maybe. And even then, it's just hard. I mean, as an agency, it's hard for me to charge less than that. But with our developments, and we've already done this in South Central, we were able to service 40 businesses at one time at very low, actually, that had no cost because we were funded. We had got a grant. We had a partner who got a grant to fund it. And so things like that. And then the last part of this economy is entrepreneurialism. So like we have a development in Florida that's three superdomes and a multi-unit apartment complex. And so they're going to give us about four apartments for like startups to incubate startups out of these apartments, in which we'll help build their MVPs, we'll help take them go to market, we'll help with funding. And it's just, I mean, we're all right here. We got the people to build your stuff, we got the marketing team, we have the location, we can pilot it right here because there's thousands of people in this development. And so that's kind of like our 360 smart city economy, thing
That's
that we're
awesome.
doing through in all these developments. Yeah, so that's pretty much
That's
the latest and greatest and out of each development. I don't know what startups we're starting. I don't know what technology, but I know it's gonna be fire. I know one of them's gonna break. One unicorn is coming out of one of these tech centers. I don't know what
that's
it
amazing.
is, but it's coming.
That's amazing. So besides, Chicago and Florida, what other places do you have your eyes on?
Yeah, so Detroit, I've been having conversations with a design school in Detroit. Pittsburgh, literally was just talking to some investors in Pittsburgh. Costa Rica has this really beautiful like development that's just sitting empty, sitting empty. I was like, oh, I could fill that up for y'all. We can help y'all out with that. Fresno has a 140-acre development that we're doing with CEDC, and that's the same thing. Tech center, I think there's a museum there that'll be in Fresno.
That's awesome.
Charlotte, there's a mall in Charlotte, North Carolina. Those are the main ones. I had like one meeting about Dominica, a couple meetings in the Dominican Republic. Those are just kind of, just conversations just getting started. But yeah, Florida, I would say, is probably top. Long Beach, Pittsburgh, Chicago. Those are the top
Yeah,
ones
that's
right now.
awesome. I mean, it's definitely, for a small business, a lot of businesses are, at the startup and the just gaining traction, phase, not even at the growth stage, you know what I'm saying? So it's those businesses, it's always the hardest for them to get the things that
Yeah, well, they say 3 years, the three first 3 years is the hardest. You got to get past that. Like a lot of businesses fail in the first 3 years. I think
yeah.
I'm at four. I'm at year four, girl. This is crazy.
Yeah,
I'm
year four, that's
at year
incredible.
four for the agency, and I'm at year 10 for MISLA.
Oh, wow.
11, actually. We started in 2013, so we're at 11.
Started Main and South LA in 2013?
2014. 2014. So,
2014.
yeah, year 10.
Oh, wow. So you moving and shaking, that's amazing. So what do you recommend for business owners to do? And this year, what do you see should be the priority from a technological standpoint?
I think this year is, if you haven't already, you need to kind of take a step back. I know everybody's like all about getting their money, and do that, and this I'm saying, because this is what I'm gonna do as well, is get your money, you know what I'm saying? But at some point you gotta step back, and you need to get your systems together, like your processes. Like imagine if you close, whatever you do, if you sold a million of them, can you sustain that? You know what I mean? Like, if you
Right.
got 100,000 of those, or even 100 of a client, like, can you sustain 100 clients? So, like, the best way is to start. I mean, I've been telling my team that since day one, is that because they're like, why do we need all this? Why are we setting this up like that? You know, and I'm like, because we got to set it up as though we have, you know, $80 million worth of clients. And they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know,
Right.
also that's manifestation. You know what I mean? I'm
Right.
manifesting that I'm gonna have $80 million of clients. So what do I have to set up to put that in place? Like videos. Like I remember you do Loom videos, you know, you do your training videos, so you don't have to train every single person every single time. You just send a video to train them, you know. So a lot of these like systems and processes that can set up and automations and use the robots and use AI, you know, to like do the mundane things that you can cut out a human. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is you as a human. Like, you know, like right now when we get people on our tech Talk Tech to Me show, we used to call them and get all their information. But now we just send a link and they fill it out and they set their own calendar date from the link. I mean, it's just a simple little link, you know, and it has cut so much time from that person's job who used to do that. They can now do other things. So yeah, set up your systems and processes and automate your life.
Yeah, processes and automation. I think that that's really, really important. So if people want to talk to you more about processes and automation, how can they connect with you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Cassie Betts. I'm easy to find. I'm just type in Cassie, Cassie Betts, Betts. I'm at InstaBetts on Instagram, LinkedIn, Cassie Betts, Facebook, Cassie Betts. I'm at Talk Tech to Me, talktech2.me on TikTok. But yeah, I'm all over the internet. Just type in my name and whatever place you like to use, I'm probably there.
That's awesome. So it was definitely a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for stopping by the SEO Queen Tech Show.
Thanks for having me, girl.
Yep. Do you
Appreciate
have
you.
any shout outs?
Shout out to my team. You know, I really rock with y'all and I appreciate y'all rocking with me for 4 years, some of you 5 years, some of you like, you know, some been with me since back in the 2014 days. So shout out to y'all and the OGs and the new ones. You know, a lot of new team members just be like, where you going? Where we going? Florida, let's go. You know, I just be like, dang, follow me wherever. It's beautiful. That's my gift. I can get people to follow me now. You know, so yeah, shout out to the team, my family, my sons, my mom, you know, family and friends, everybody who supported me just through the highs and the lows.
That's
I
awesome.
appreciate everybody.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the SEO Queen Show Tech Show. You've been listening to this latest episode of this podcast. This podcast on Bashani Radio is all about helping you to get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through technology. And today, the tip, very important tip that our guest Cassie Betts gave to us, the founder and CEO of Made in South LA, is get your processes in order and automate as much as you can. I had to reiterate that because that was powerful. And so the SEO Queen Tech Show is broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio always talking about everything from New York City. And you can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. And please follow us online at SEOQueen.com and on all social networks at the SEO Queen. And don't forget, we have our Reach More Clients Power Conference happening in July this year. And we also have the Algorithm Magazine that's going to be coming out as well. You can go to thealgorithmmagazine.com for more details. But I just want to thank you all for listening, and until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads. Like never before, no traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.